You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Let's go! Play the game, ball in the town. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, yes. Sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored
every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, of Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the Arby's on West 10th Street. I'm your host, Corey Brevink. Also being joined once again by Jeff Robinson. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great.
First time here in the season. How you feeling?
Ready to talk some football here at Arby's.
That's good. Also being joined by John Easier. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. You know, it is Tuesday. That means we're here at Arby's for Inside Ben Davis Football, and it's a big win last week for the Giants. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in the first half and talk about a much different game in the second.
We're also being joined by the main man himself, Coach Kirshner. How you doing, Coach?
Good. Glad to be here. It's glad the weather finally changed and got rid of some of this humidity, although I hear it's coming back tomorrow. And excited to see Jeff back. You know, missed him last week. I'm glad to be back on the headsets instead of the phone. missed that last week. And really appreciate Arby's supporting us.
Well, Coach, last time out was the home opener against the Tech Titans. A resounding win, 70-0. How was the game, Coach?
Obviously good. You know, a win's a win. I know my coaches were texting me that night. You know, it was about 1 o'clock, and I was still breaking down film. And they're like, you know, Coach, you act like you're unhappy. And not unhappy. You know, those games aren't fun. I'm just going to tell you from a coaching standpoint, because the other guys on the other side are working hard. You know, Tony Henderson's working hard. His kids are working hard. And they were a little outmanned. You know, they were starting 7 sophomores on the defense, which in 6A football is not a good thing to do. If you told me Friday night against Avon I was starting 7 sophomores on defense, I would spot Avon 35 points, because we're not going to slow them down. You know, and it's a physical thing. It's a size thing. And you know, I will tell you that one of the best things was we were able to get a lot of kids in. And in our schedule, we've talked about this over the years now. This is because me and John were talking about this last year's. This is our 10th year for doing this with me as the head coach. And there's so many games in the mix, we never get a chance to get some other kids in and get them varsity playing experience. Everybody says, well, they still play JV. It's not the same. It's not the same under the lights. It's not the same crowd. It's not the same speed. It's not the same tempo. So we were able to get a lot of kids in. Actually, we played all 100 of them. You know, we only dressed 100 of the 150. So we played all 100 kids and got to see what some other kids can do under the lights, and some things we liked and some other things we didn't.
Was it a real confidence booster for the guys?
Oh, I'm sure it is, you know, but they're also realistic that, you know, the next opponent, you know, the Avon Orioles, and then after that the Pike Red Devils and Trojans and the Warriors are going to be a significantly different matchup. They're not so naive as to think that this is the way it is. And I'll take you back to last year. We opened up with a 63-0 win, had to fight like a dog and come from behind and literally pull one out of our behinds on an interception by Miner to win whatever it was, 49-42 or something last year against Avon. Then we turn around and got smoked by Pike in a rain delayed game the following week. And then followed that up with a loss to Center Grove, and followed that up with a loss to Warren. And I think it's the first time since I've been a head coach we'd lost 3 straight, you know, and that's over a 9-year period, you know. And so we're realistic enough to know that, at least as coaches, and we're telling our players, and I think our kids are doing a pretty good job of the understanding of what the expectation now is.
We all know the Mick game, every Mick game's a challenge. Talk a little bit about the mindset in terms of setting up your non-conference schedule.
Well, I'll be honest with you. When Cathedral dropped us a couple years ago because they had a scheduling conflict, we literally put out the reach as far as we could. You know, unfortunately, Ohio hadn't started yet. Or our week one, Ohio and Illinois hadn't started yet. So you can't cross lines to go play anybody. We couldn't find anybody in Kentucky, had an opening week one. And so it became a grouping of about 3 or 4 schools that had an opening week one that would even consider playing us. All right. So, and then it came down to there was only one that would agree. And the other three, me saying who they are, all told us no. Some of them would have been really good games, really good pickups, and we were willing to travel. I mean, there was one up in Fort Wayne. We were willing to travel up there and just to get the game. And Tech agreed for a four-year deal, and that's how we got set up for this. So we're 2 years into it with two to go. The second game was Avon, and when they agreed to play, I don't know who initiated the talk. That was a great game for us for multiple reasons. One, they're a sectional opponent. Two, they're a quality opponent that's well-coached, and we're always going to get their best game. And three, from a financial standpoint, the crowd we're going to get for the Avon game, it's at Avon, the crowd we got last year is helps fund the sports teams within your school. So those are big games. Now, if we could get our first game to be Brownsburg and our second game to be Avon and our third game to be Pike, that would be ideal. We'd hit all three sectional opponents right out of the box. We'll know where we're at for the sectional. If we lose all three, we know what we got to do. We win all three, we still know what we got to do, but we at least know where we were at in relationship to those. That hasn't happened yet, but we do play Avon and Pike, which is a good thing.
Coach, this is, we can say it, the largest home victory ever in the history of Ben Davis football.
Is that right?
70-0. Wow.
I know the largest victory ever was against Northwest when Tom Allen was the head coach. I think that was 75.
Yeah, 76. 76. You had the 75-0 one at
Lawrence North. Lawrence North in the rain.
Then you also had a 70-14 game down at Lucas Oil. But these are the only times that Ben Davis football has ever scored over 70 points. So congratulations on that. You know, kind of jumping off Jeff's question with Tech, you talk about that they're playing hard, they're working hard. How do you balance out, you know, play calling, things like that? Because – 70-0 is bad, but you don't want to make it worse.
Right, and there's a lot of talk, as you know, amongst coaches and states and state associates about mercy rules. The tough balance you have in the first game is there's things you need to work on. We haven't really played a game. We played the scrimmage against Westfield, but that's not a game. You don't have a game mentality. You're not keeping score. So there were certain things we had to work on. I know one of the questions I was asked when you were up, 60-0, why'd you kick the field goal? Well, I'm going to take you back a year. We were 0-15 on field goals. We needed confidence in kicking one in a game, and our kicker was elated he hit it because he was the kid that missed him last year. So, working on that was something we'd already decided in the second half that if we got close, we were going to kick a field goal just for practice. Even if he missed it, didn't matter. We needed to practice in a game situation. And so there's certain things that we went into the game saying we need to run this play, this play, this play. We need to see what we can execute, what we can't, what needs to be better. You know, we threw a pick on one of our early possessions down in the red zone. Well, that was a mistake by the quarterback and the receiver. It was a combination of things. Well, that's something for us to work on. So we're looking at things we needed to do. We were very basic on offense because they put in a whole new – or I'm sorry, on defense, because they put in a whole new offense. They went from the spread, throw it around a little bit, to midline veer, all options. So that changed our scheme up a little bit. But we were looking at some basic things that we thought we'd try to execute. And so you're trying not to run the score up, but at the same time, you got to find out what you can do well, and you can't wait to play Avon to find out because it may be too late. They may beat you doing it.
Well, last during the scrimmage, one of the things you said that you needed to work on was the defense. Did you see any improvements in the defense against Tech?
Yeah, I thought we played faster. Some of the things we didn't do well against Westfield was the secondary, but Tech didn't challenge the secondary. They weren't going to come in and throw it 35 times. I mean, last week Avon threw it 30 times. So we're really going to find out if we're up to the challenge. I know we're young in spots. Our secondary, literally, corners are juniors. If Rondell's playing in there at the free safety, he's a junior. Our one outside linebacker's a junior. Our one inside linebacker's a junior, and our one DN's a junior. I mean, there's literally six juniors on that field, you know, and then we rotate four or five seniors at different spots. And then if you look at our offense, we start two junior offensive linemen, a junior quarterback. Johnny Adams is a junior running back. Hoskins and Keyshawn are junior wide receivers. So what we know, we're a senior-junior team. We really got a nice mix of those two classes of kids. So, Did I think the defense did better? Absolutely. You know, we have 15 goals we try to hit going into a game, and whether it be pass completion percentage, we're trying to hold them under, turnovers, all that. We hit all 15 goals. So that's a good thing. But again, there were certain things they didn't challenge us on that Avon's going to that has us concerned.
Offensively, last year you were very green in several key spots. Talk about where that having an extra year of experience for some of those key spots, quarterback, for example,
right,
with Reese Taylor.
Oh, there's no question. You can tell Reese has played. He's very comfortable in the pocket. He's very comfortable running the offense, knows where he wants to go with the ball, understands what Coach Ferris is teaching about reads and adjustments. And then you throw into that, you return a couple, two, three offensive linemen that played varsity. Hoskins was a varsity wide receiver. Coop was a varsity wide receiver. Noah was a varsity wide receiver. And then Witt was a varsity tailback, and Johnny Adams. So with the exception of a couple of new linemen, a couple of receivers that we've got mixed in there now, the team kind of, the offense has kind of reloaded. So we were able to build on that faster. It wasn't baby steps like last year because they were so young. You've been able to take what you did last year, already put it in place, and try to compound that to make it bigger and better. And we've been able to do some different things. And I expect great things from the offense. I know Coach Ferris and his staff does a great job. So we'll see how they bounce.
Last game you had a couple touchdowns called back. Talk about what you're trying to do to combat that.
Penalties. We had 11 for 90 yards. We had, I believe, three holding calls, an unsportsmanlike call, which was very unfortunate. Because not only was he in a sportsmanlike call, he was ejected, so he's out for this week, which is completely unacceptable. As he was doing his pop-ups yesterday at practice for about 800 yards, and again tonight, you know, we're trying to remind everybody that that's not how we respond to things. And, you know, I always get the infamous, well, he got in my face. Who cares? You know, I mean, in the end, he wins. And the kid, when I was explaining it to him, looked at me and goes, what do you mean he won? I said, he still played. He gets to play this Friday. You left the game. You don't get to play this Friday. He won. You might have pushed him, but he won. And then you got to give him a little frustrated. I thought we got sloppy in the second quarter, and so sometimes that happens when you score. I mean, on our offense, their first three touchdowns, one of them was a defensive score, and the other two were a grand total of about 15 yards of offense because we were giving them the ball so deep in their own territory. Their territory, yeah. So, and that was the other thing you were asking the question earlier about what we were trying to work on. Because we had such short drives early, we felt like we needed to keep in the second quarter some distance and drives and work on some things in the open field that are going to be needed now.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football and come back with the preview of next week's game against the Avon Orioles. So, quick 30-second break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. Now, coming up this Friday, we have a game against sectional rivals, the Avon Orioles. Coach, what do we expect out of Avon, especially after they lost a great quarterback like Brandon Peters?
Well, good programs like Avon, even though they lose good kids like Brandon Peters and the tight end Moore and the receiver D.B. Griffin, who I just thought was one of the best football players in the state last year. I really enjoyed watching him play, just not against me. Well, when they're really good, you like watching them. You know, it's kind of like somebody asked me, I think it was Jim Barber asked me one time, we were getting ready to play Center Grove in 2000. What year was Boz a senior? Because they were undefeated and ranked really high in the nation, and we went there and beat them like 37-20 or something. Was that 2013?
Yeah,
14 they were at our place. Yeah, it was 2013. Yeah. And Jim Barber before the game goes, you know, what do you think of playing against Derek Moore's offense? I said, well, I'm not a wing T guy. It's not something, you know, I've spent a lot of time other than studying it defensively. I said, but from a distance, I enjoy watching it. I don't enjoy coaching against it. I said, just from the standpoint, it's such precision. It's all the pieces going in a certain place all at the right time. It's a really good offense. And he looked at me and goes, that's an interesting take. I said, I'm a football guy. You know, I like all brands of football. You know, it doesn't mean I like the Trojans. I just like all brands of football. So in the answer to Avon, what you get is a team that kind of reloads. You know, their quarterback's a junior. He's 6'3", 190 pounds. He's a big kid. You got Bryant Fitzgerald, who was Mr. Everything as a junior. He was probably the best. He's a potential Mr. Football candidate. He returns punts, turns kickoffs. He ran a fake punt last Friday against Avon. He rushed for 80 yards. He led the team in tackles. He had two pass breakups. You got Corey DePriest, who's the other tailback slash receiver, who's really good. They're really big up front. They got great D linemen and C.J. Hunt, Gunnar Larson, and they return Ian Pendleton at the safety spot, who's very physical, plays downhill. What we're going to get is a very well coached. Mark does a great job. Mark and Chris Bombi and those guys, they do a great job. They're good people. It's always a class game. There's no animosity between us. There's nobody just trying to – we're just going there to play football, and we're going to have our hands full. We know it. You know, if there's anybody from Avon, listen, I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not trying to build it up. I'm just telling you, we're still young in spots. They're young. It'll be the team that makes the fewest mistakes, really.
I kind of sit back and look at this matchup. As far as Avon coming in this year, very comparable to your team last year coming in, where that you lost a ton of talent after a state championship. Last year was probably their year in terms of having a ton of talented, one of their most talented classes ever. Your thoughts in terms of me making that comparison, where that, yeah, I see your last year's team on par with their team this year.
Yeah, when we came off the state championship in 14, our team in 15 returned some good kids. Obviously, you turn Chris Evans, who's at Michigan. You return Story Emerson, who's at Miami of Ohio. But we weren't as deep as we'd been. We weren't as deep as we'd been in 13 and 14, where we knew we had a lot of depth with a lot of kids. And we also lost kids like Kyle Kastner, like Brandon Peters, who was a three-year starter, who, so for 3 years, we knew we had a quarterback. We didn't have to mess with anything else, and we were just going to roll. We had kids like Brennan Gillis, who was a two-year starter, Story Emerson, who was a two-year starter. So there was just so many things going into it. And well, then last year, their new group of kids had to step up, and those became young kids in some respects, like Reese Taylor, like Jermaine Hoskins, like Johnny Adams. And so there is some similarities, you know, and what we kept telling our kids last year, and we just never quite got there. I didn't think we were that far off. You know what I mean? Did we play Center Grove very good? No. But in that particular game, we lost our center, our guard, our quarterback, and our receiver in the first half. Well, we're not going to be very good from that point on. I'm just telling you, not that Center Grove wasn't, because they won the state. They went 14-0. They were great. And Eric does an unbelievable job. But, you know, we were up on Carmel in the second half, who ended up going all the way to semi-state before they lost a tough one to Penn. You know, the only game we really have felt like I didn't feel like we were in the Center Grove game or the Warren game. Everybody else, we were kind of there, you know what I mean? But we weren't there. We were missing something, and we just didn't know what it was. And we found a way to claw our way through the LC game and the LN game and salvage some wins, but we weren't crisp. We weren't sharp. This year we returned. You know, you talk about returning, you know, our short snapper's back, our long snapper's back, our punter's back, our kicker's back. We returned 90% of all the kids who played on special teams. Every special team, 90% of those kids are back. And that's – when you do that, it's just easier to get rolling than it is to say, all right, I've got to find all these guys. Now, next year we're going to have to find guys. I mean, that's why we keep all the numbers we do and try to keep kids going.
Coach, when you look at Avon, obviously they're going to be different than they have been, based on the losses that Jeff was talking about, that you were talking about in personnel. But you guys have played each other so much over the last 3 or 4 years in the sectional. You know, it seems like you either draw Pike in the first round, or you
no,
draw
we just,
Avon.
Not kinda, just, we just draw Pike.
You never seem to get Brownsburg.
Honestly,
the way it goes. But
let's go back. How many years in a row have we drawn Pike? I want to say there's a conspiracy theory in the IHSA.
Maybe the ping pong balls are weighted, but I don't know. But
14 and 15, and we played Pike in the sectional finals in 13, We drew Pike 14 and 15.
It always seems
Me and Pike even laugh about it.
Always seems to happen to Mark James,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
But when you look at what you can take by what they do year in and year out, what are some of the things that Mark Bless does year in and year out that you know he's going to do in this game?
He's going to run the ball. I mean, you know, not that he won't throw it, but he is going to establish the run. They do a great job coaching their old linemen, and they're going to establish the run, and they're going to try and pound you, and if they can't, he'll adjust. We know they're going to run a screen to the tailback, to the backside of Trips at some point, and I can sit here as God is my witness right now and tell you we have practiced it, but they will do it, and it'll look like we had no clue it was coming. Because they're so good at the art of deception of getting everything going to one side and then coming back the other way and dumping it off. They just run it really well. I know for a fact they're going to run a backside post out of Trips and get my corner to run across the field with that guy, and they're going to take that running back and sneak him right in behind him just like they did to Plainfield. They're going to dump it off, and it's going to be a touchdown. And I'm going to sit here and go, we practiced it over and over and over again. But the reality of it is you're asking 17-year-old, if they do this, they're going to do it. And they're really good at it. I mean, they're good at deceiving you. They're good at making you think they're doing one thing when they're doing something else. And then on defense, what you get out of Chris Bombi's defense is a bunch of kids that play really hard. They understand where they fit. They're going to come downhill really fast, and they tackle really well. And they're just solid. You know, it's a solid bunch of kids, and it's a credit to them and their program. It's a reason why Mark wins, 80% of his games or whatever. There's a reason.
Well, last week against Tech, one of the plays that really stuck out in my mind was when Reese Taylor bumbled the snap and he went back about 10 yards into his own backfield. He picked it up and it was able to turn the corner and run it in for a touchdown about 50 yards downfield. I mean, that was really one of the most athletic plays I've seen in a while. How important is it to your offense to have such a athletic dual-threat quarterback?
Well, from a defensive coach, which is what I've been most of my life, that's killer. I mean, as a defensive guy, when I'm scouting another team and getting ready to play him, the idea that your quarterback is dangerous with his feet as well as his arm makes it tough, because you want your quarterback to be a pocket guy that sits there that I can pressure. He's not going to get out in space and make me pay for it. Reese is one of those kids that, honestly, his feet may be more valuable to us than his arm. He throws the ball really well. He completes almost 70% of his passes over the 8 games he's played. It's really pretty impressive, but he is so fast and so athletic, and you're right. When he snapped that one over his head, went back, picked it up, made a couple guys miss, and he was off to the races. It was a little bit what James Banks used to do to people. You know, if you come after him, you better be careful how fast you rush him, because if he gets a seam, he did it to us tonight. We sent the house, we blitzed everybody, we got too far up the field. Next thing you know, he's running down the field by himself, and we whiffed. You know, and our defense isn't. You know, our front's pretty good. We got some pretty good guys up in the front wall. So he just makes us look silly sometimes in practice.
The last time you were at Avon, Bryant Fitzgerald, 4 touchdowns, almost single-handedly carries Avon's offense. How do you go out and scheme against that kind of talent?
Well, it's hard because he's so good. He actually had 4 touchdowns, 177 yards. He broke numerous tackles, made us pay. We were playing a scheme which lent itself to them running the ball. We went into the game with the idea that if we were going to win, we can't let Brandon Peters throw for 400 yards like he did the first time, because we just weren't going to win. If he threw for 400 yards, so we worked real hard at man press, pressing all their receivers and trying to get pressure on Peters. And we did a pretty good job. I felt like we probably did the best job of anybody of defending the pass on that particular night in Brandon Peters' career. Because I think through 13 games last year, didn't he throw for almost 4,000 yards?
Yes, yeah.
And that particular night, he threw for 100. It was 12 of 36 for 100 yards.
Including starting 2 of 21.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad weather night.
No, it was cold, but it was nice.
Right.
I mean, perfect for that time of year. But by doing that, our DBs, and again, this goes back to how good a coach Mark Bless is. Second half, they came out and said, look, they're not going to let us throw it. They're working really hard. They're covering our receivers up, blah, blah, blah. So what we stayed in our man press. So on the snap, the receivers would all take off. Our DBs would all turn and run. So that's 4 guys plus your safety who are taking their eyes off the ball. They hand it off, and our defensive front couldn't make plays. We weren't good one-on-one against him. He was just better than us. And so they adjusted took advantage of what we were doing, and we tried to adjust back and, you know, shot ourselves in the foot with some things on offense that might have got us out of the hole. But our kids competed. But I really felt like going into it, we had to play a really, really good game to beat them, and we didn't, and they did.
I recall one of the touchdowns was a second effort that was as good of a run as you'll see anywhere.
Broke multiple tackles, and we can't do that Friday. We got to find a way to get him on the ground. He's playing both ways. We got to find a way to wear him out. When we're on offense, we got to find a way to make him chase people. You know, we got to slow him down by fatiguing him a little bit. You know, this is one of those Friday nights you want it to be 95 and humid.
Well, Coach, when you look at, you know, kind of the difference between last week and this week, how have you amped it up in practice so they understand? Obviously, I know you addressed it a little bit earlier, but how do you really go about amping it up to let them understand, hey, this week's a little bit different than last week?
We actually started on Saturday morning after they got done with their workouts at 8:30 on Saturday. We brought them in for film, had a full team meeting before we broke it up, and basically laid the groundwork of what was getting ready to happen, about how you got to look at the game you just played, take what and realize the situation and understand that this won't happen again. And so you started by doing that on Saturday morning and through Saturday films, started breaking down Avon film with the players Saturday morning. Didn't spend a lot of time with the tech film. There's only so much you can get out of it. And then Monday, you know, just we're all business. You know, we went out there for our meetings. Then we went out on the field. You know, the IHSA's changed the rules about how you can practice now. There's what they call levels. I don't know if you heard this. There's level one practice, level two, level three, level four, and level five. Level four and level five are what they consider thud or contact days, where bodies can hit bodies. You can only do that 2 days a week. We used to do it somewhat Monday, but tapered back, and then really geared up Tuesday, Wednesday. But Monday had to be a level one, two, or three, which means you're either hitting a pad or you're not hitting anything. You know, so yesterday's practice was really mental. You know, really old school, let's get all the mental stuff. And I thought they handled it well. It was different for them. It wasn't the same that they're used to. And I thought they handled it well. And then tonight we geared it up. But a little bit of it's got to be internal. It's got to be your leadership, understanding that the ramifications of what you're getting ready to go play. And if the coach is the one that has to fire you up, then it's going to be a long season. So,
well, Coach, you take on the Avon Orioles this Friday. You travel to their place. Give us your final thoughts.
Well, I think Purple Rain's beach night. Am I right? Doesn't that sound right?
Yeah.
You know what I was most impressed with Friday night, just from a crowd standpoint, is the number of people who stayed. You know, we had the hour delay. We didn't get started till 8 o'clock, and I'm thinking, man, nobody's going to come back. We had a really nice home crowd.
Yeah, we did.
Very big home crowd. We didn't have much from the visitor side, you know, but the home crowd was very nice. We need that. We need to pack the house. We need to pack the side of Avon. It's supposed to be a sunny day, beautiful night, great night for football. You know, the Giants got to get out there in Purple Rain and the parents, and let's have a good time.
Well, as we said earlier, the Giants take on the Avon Orioles this Friday. Pregame starting at 6 o'clock here on WBDG, kickoff at 7. Thanks to Brad back in the studio for producing. And we'll be back same time next week, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. Live at Arby's at West 10th Street. Thanks for tuning in. This has been a presentation of your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.